Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, we're continuing our off-season series of breaking down position groups of what the Bills have on the roster, what we can expect in free agency, what's available there, as well as potential draft prospects. And now a couple months out from the draft. So today we're going to talk about the offensive line and defensive line, arguably the two most important position groups on the field. And the Bills struggled mightily with the offensive line in 2018.
Yeah, that was probably the entire offense really struggled, but the offensive line, we expected a lot of the struggles from wide receiving group and like skill positions on offense. The offensive line, I don't think I necessarily expect them to be as bad as they were for the majority of the year.
Yeah, it was brutal in that second half of the season. If you would go back and listen to us after the first three or four games, Nate and I were both saying, you know, this offensive line hasn't been as bad as we expected. You know, they've been okay. And then that really just deteriorated as the season went on.
Yeah, a big part of why the running backs struggled as much as they did was the offensive line. A big part of why the entire offense struggled as much as they did was the offensive line. Like, yes, Josh Allen made a lot of rookie mistakes. Yes, the wide receiving group was not very good, especially at things that the wide receivers need to be good at, like getting open. But at the same time, the offensive line did absolutely nothing to make any of their lives easier.
Yeah. So, Nate, is there anyone that started on the offensive line in 2018 that's guaranteed a starting spot in 2019?
Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins is going to start. I don't know if he'll necessarily start at left tackle, but he's going to start. He'll start at one of the tackle positions in 2019. Other than that, no.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other guy that's guaranteed a roster spot, unless he has an awful camp, is Wyatt Teller at left guard. You know, that's kind of their fifth round pick from last year. That's a developmental project, but he played decent enough towards the end of the season when he got in there that I don't think there's any way he gets cut or anything because another team would snatch him up. So I can't imagine him not making the 53 unless he just is awful in camp.
The other guy who is guaranteed a roster spot is Spencer Long because you don't sign a guy to a $3 or $12 million deal. Even with the only like 1.2 guaranteed, he's still going to make the roster.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, he's not necessarily going to start or anything. And they could easily – I mean, this they kind of – the way the contract structured is they cut him, they basically lose the entire – like $1.3 million of his from this year, but they could get rid of him anytime in the future with nothing. So I think he's at least guaranteed a roster spot this year.
Yeah, and he's versatile too. He covers both guard and center, so I think that's something they like, even if he, you know, doesn't start. Like you said, he's a guy that they can rely on to be, you know, a serviceable backup.
Yeah, and the Bills, I mean, as we've kind of highlighted in the last couple minutes opening this pod, the offensive line is they're gonna have to spend some draft picks on the offensive line. They're probably gonna sign someone else for agency. There's a lot of work to do for the Bills on the offensive line before 2019. The defensive line, on the other hand, is a little bit of a different story. Yes, Kyle Williams retired, but I think you're gonna see a lot of the same faces as we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah, the defensive line is interesting because, like you said, we're gonna see a lot of familiar faces, but at the same time, they also have to look towards the future at those defensive line positions because it's not a guarantee Shaq Lawson's here in 2020. It's not a guarantee that Jerry Hughes is there in 2020. And even a guy like Star Latulule with that expensive contract starts to become expendable if you can find, you know, say, a guy like Ed Oliver that turns out to be good or something.
Yeah, I think the way Latulule's contract is structured, and we talked about this a little bit last year, he's basically guaranteed to be on the roster for three seasons. So 2019, 2020, and then after that, they could cut him fairly easily if they wanted to. But I think Star Latulule is a very misunderstood Bills player, and we'll get into that when we start talking about defensive line a little bit more in the pod. I think he might be the most misunderstood Bills player, at least this past season. He was probably the most misunderstood. Jerry Hughes now is in the last year of his deal, so the Bills aren't going to sign him to another $45 million contract like they did 5 years ago. So while he maybe he comes back in Buffalo to 2020, this is a good chance this is his last year on the roster.
Yeah, that's true, Nate. So I guess we'll start with the offensive line. We already mentioned Deion Dawkins, Wyatt Teller, Spencer Long. Ike Butker is going to be there in camp. That's a developmental player that I don't see them really cutting because, you know, we saw what happened when they cut him last year after camp. The Chiefs snatched him right up off their practice squad, and the Chiefs ended up releasing him, and the Bills signed him back to the 53. So I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up making the roster unless he has some sort of injury or, you know, a bad camp. I think he'll be there.
Yeah, and another guy who will at least come into camp is Vlad Dukas. I mean, he's signed for 2019 at a relatively cheap $2 million. And he's another guy who, even if he doesn't start, $2 million isn't a ton of money to spend on a reserve offensive lineman. And you do have to have a solid group of offensive linemen, of backups on the offensive line. It is important to have, you know, seven or eight guys who can play if you need them to play.
Any chance that the Bills re-sign Jordan Mills?
There's always a chance. I would hope they don't. He hasn't necessarily always been the worst Bills lineman in his tenure in Buffalo, but he's always made some of the funniest and most ridiculous mistakes. Like, at least once a game, he would just block no one. And I really am kind of over Jordan Mills being a Bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've been saying for a couple of years now, Nate. It's nothing against the guy personally. It's just it just goes to show where right tackle in particular in the NFL is, that a guy like Jordan Mills can hold a starting job for 3 years, because that doesn't happen at other positions, because there's enough replacement level players that are just as good as a guy that performs like that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, exactly. And there's, I just think between the draft and free agency, they're going to find a younger, cheaper replacement that is just as good or hopefully better than Jordan Mills is.
So while we're talking tackle, Nate, you mentioned, you know, Deion Dawkins is going to be starting at either left tackle or right tackle, which I agree with. Do you see the Bills shelling out any money for a right tackle in free agency?
I mean, I think there's certainly a couple of names out there that are bigger names where they could go, like a Jared Valdir is a free agent. Juwan James is another guy who's a free agent who is a possible signee. Marshall Newhouse, who is bounced around the league a little bit, but he's most recently in Carolina. And I don't think they're going to go out and spend any kind of ridiculous amount of money. But at the same time, I would be very surprised if they didn't sign someone. If they didn't sign some tackle, offensive tackle in free agency when free agency started. I would be pretty surprised about that.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Newhouse comes back just because the Bills signed him last year and traded him to Carolina for a 7th-round pick. I could see him being brought back as a depth guy or to compete in camp. But if they do spend money on tackle, there are some interesting options, like you mentioned, Juwan James. I expect Trent Brown will probably be franchised by New England or signed to a long-term deal. And then Darrell Williams, you know, the Carolina thing again. I think he missed almost all of 2018, but he's a pretty good offensive lineman, and, you know, I could see the Bills making that play, not just because he's from Carolina, but he's a really good offensive lineman.
Yeah, I'm curious. So what was it? I'm curious to see what some of these guys are going to be worth, especially that some of the guys coming off their rookie deals, like Darrell Williams, who was coming off his rookie deal, but he was injured. I'm curious what his value is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, if he's $10, $11 million a year, that's probably not worth the risk for long-term. Like, speaking of like a 5 or 6 year deal, just because he's coming off that knee injury and that's tough for offensive linemen. So I don't see the Bills committing huge money like that, but I am intrigued to see what someone like that will get.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting too, because a lot of obviously most of the good players are going to get snatched up before the draft. So I'm curious to see where the Bills focus their free agency spending. And I think that'll give us a little bit of a clue as to where they're going to focus some of their draft picks as well.
Yeah, so we've covered tackles now, Nate. What about guard? Do you see the Bills there's a lot of free agent guards, but they tend to be a bit older, in their 30s. I'm not sure I see the Bills really shelling out a ton of money for one of these veteran guards, but they still have the potential to re-sign John Miller, and I'm surprised they haven't yet, because that's a guy that's going to come pretty cheap, and I can't imagine there being a huge market for him where they'd have to compete at all. You know, they could probably bring him back at a veteran minimum, close to it.
Yeah, and Jordan Mills, when the Bills' offensive line has run power blocking schemes, he's been pretty successful. He had two really really good seasons in Buffalo out of his four years here so far, and I could absolutely see him coming back to Buffalo. He lives here. He's comfortable here, and I don't think there's going to be any kind of a bidding war for him either.
Yeah, I mean, there was points last year where John Miller was the best offensive lineman on the field for Buffalo. Not that there was a ton of competition for that, but especially in those first four or five games, Nate, we noticed it. And, you know, he struggled along with the rest of the offensive line as the season went on. But you have to think an entire position group where you lack both skill and depth, that's a guy you need to bring back, even if it's like a two-year, $4 million deal or something. That's really affordable.
Yeah, and I think you're right in that I'm surprised the Bills haven't re-signed him already. I'll be interested to see when free agency starts. The Bills could be trying to go after one of the slightly older guards that's going to be a little more expensive. I mean, that has worked for them in the past. The Richie Incognito signing was really a strong signing, and they got a really, really solid few years out of him. And he's going to be the same age they signed him is kind of where – a lot of these free agent guards are going to fall this offseason. A guy like Roger Saffold for the Rams or Mike Iupati, those guys are about the same age when Richie was when he signed in Buffalo. And I could see the Bills spending a little bit of money on the guard side more so than the tackle side.
Yeah, I could see them bringing in a guy like Ramon Foster, Andy Levitre. Mike Iupati has really kind of fallen off since he was, I don't know if he was an all-pro, but he was definitely a pro bowler at one point in his career with the 49ers, and then he's just hasn't been good for the Cardinals. So there's a number of names if you go down the list here that you wouldn't be surprised if the Bills sign. I'm just going to be surprised if they shell out big money for a guard, because that's not really typically the most important offensive line position. You really think of left tackle and center.
Yeah, and I think there's a center is something we've talked about before any of this free agency started, how the Bills really, really need to go out and find a center for next year.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when we did our end of the season podcast, I said Matt Paradis has to be the Bills' number one target free agency at center, because they don't have one on the roster. Ryan Groy and Russell Bodine were both terrible last year. Like, just well below replacement level play from them. Paradis is arguably the top five center in the league. That doesn't hit free agency often. He's going to be 30 next season, but you know, we've seen centers play well into their mid-30s, so I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bills give him 4 or 5 years, $45 million. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question.
No, I don't think it is either. There is going to be a bit of a bidding war for him, I would imagine. The Broncos have already said that they'd like to re-sign him. And I think he's going to be a top target for a lot of teams, because it's not often that a center of that quality and that caliber becomes a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Mack is really the only guy I can think of in recent memory that was, you know, a Pro Bowl, all-pro level center that hit free agency just because they're so hard to come by. Mitch Morse for the Chiefs is a couple years younger, but there's durability issues there, and you know, that's kind of a point of emphasis for Sean McDermott is availability. So just based on what Brandon Bean has said about how important center is and McDermott's focus on durability, I see them going after Paradis and shelling out whatever it takes to get him at Buffalo, because they need a good center to anchor the middle of that line. And I know Paradis missed, you know, the second half of the season, but that was a broken leg. That's not something you think of as like injury prone.
No, and I'd be curious to see what Paradis's number ends up being. The top the top end of centers in the NFL, their contracts. Like, you think of a guy like Alex Mack or Travis Frederick, and they're, I think Travis Frederick signed like a 6-year, $55 million contract. I don't think Paradis is going to get that kind of money, but I think it's going to be somewhere near there. And that, it's something I'll be curious to see if Brandon Bean is going to pay, you know, $8 or $9 million a year for a center.
I mean, that is roughly the average annual value that they gave to Eric Wood before he had his career-ending injury, which unfortunately I think was right after he signed that long-term deal. And I don't know. I think that's something I could see the Bills shelling out to a guy like Paradis. I have no problem them spending $8 or $9 million a year on a good center that you know is going to anchor your offensive line for the next 4 years.
No, and it is, I do think it's much harder to find a center in the draft than to find a surefire. There might be one or two surefire things every couple of years, but it's not a position where every single year you're going to find a guy who's going to be a great long-term starter at that position.
Yeah, offensive line in general has become even harder to draft. I mean, how many times have we seen top five, top 10, you know, guys that we thought were going to be great left tackles, and they just shake out to be average at best, or, you know, they end up bouncing around a bunch of different teams because they're not that good. It's really hard to identify good offensive linemen in the draft.
And a big part of that is the way the college offenses have been changing. The things that a lot of offensive linemen are asked to do in college are not the same things they're going to be asked to do in the NFL. And I think that's part of why it's so difficult to project offensive linemen from college to the NFL. I mean, you can have a guy that has all of the physical tools, but he still has to learn the NFL game and how blocking works in the NFL, because most of the time they're going to be coming from a blocking scheme in college to a blocking scheme in the NFL that is not something they're used to.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nate. Do you see the Bills spending that number 9 pick on a tackle? I've seen that in a lot of mock drafts. I don't know. It's so unpredictable. I'd see them taking more of like a defensive lineman that they're a bit more sure about.
Yeah, the defensive line, there are a lot. Defensive line is a lot stronger of a class, I think, in at the beginning of the draft. There's only really one, at least as of right now, one offensive lineman that people have really are projecting a lot to go in the top 10, and that's Jonah Williams. And I think Juwan Taylor from Florida is possibly going that high, but I think the Bills are more likely to lean towards either a defensive lineman, or there's even I could totally see them picking a tight end at number 9. But I think offensive line, I don't think that's where that direction they're going to go in with that pick.
Yeah, if they're going offensive line, we know Brandon Bean drafts best player available. So I don't know. I don't see them taking an offensive tackle at 9 because I think there's going to be too many talented guys there. Maybe they trade down a handful of spots and then take an offensive lineman and collect another first round pick next year or something. But like you said, there's a lot of talent at 9, and it's hard to imagine any of those guys, you know, are kind of the prized possession of the Bills.
Yeah, and I also think that in terms of winning in the NFL, it's more important to have a really, really good defensive line than just to have a really, really good offensive line. I think the Bills will be able to be successful with 5 good offensive linemen rather than, and I think that they're more likely, they need more great talent on the defensive line than they do on the offensive line in order to be successful and work towards the ultimate goal of winning a championship.
Right, and I think that's where we're going to see them spend maybe not huge money all across the board. You know, we talked about Matt Paradis getting a sizable contract, but maybe they go after some veterans to shore up that offensive line, have one or two really good players, and then just 3 starting level players, which isn't what they've had across that line the last year. And I think that is a recipe for success, because when you look at teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, when they won the Super Bowl, that offensive line was just dominant. They had the same line this year, and, you know, they had a couple injuries, but they were pretty healthy towards the end of the year, and it wasn't the same type of dominance. It's hard to get that consistency year to year, you know, with elite offensive line play. We even saw it with the Raiders 2 or 3 years ago where, you know, that everyone was wondering if they're for real. No, they weren't. You know, the offensive line was just really good for 1 year.
Yeah, and I think another big part of that is a lot of the offensive line success in the NFL is based on the scheme and the way they're coached. And bringing in a coach who's able to scheme properly for the offensive line and put those guys in position to succeed, I think that is oftentimes just as important as having the talent. Where on the defensive line, especially pass rushing, a lot of that is just, can you beat your guy one-on-one?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Is there anything else you want to add, Nate? I just think the Bills will probably not be looking at offensive linemen on day one and early day two. Maybe later in the third round they go for an offensive lineman. But unless you disagree, we'll move along to the defensive line.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the case where, obviously, if there's a player they think is the best player available, they will draft them. And if that happens to be an offensive lineman, it will. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of areas of need. Offensive line is a major one. But I do think free agency is the place to do that because you know what you're getting. You know you're getting a skilled player or, you know, a starting level player. When you draft a guy, you don't know. And you really can't screw around with draft picks like that for offensive linemen when they have a number of other holes to plug.
Yep, 100% agree. I 100% agree. It's much easier to project the defensive linemen to the NFL, and that's where I think the Bills are gonna go that route early in the draft this year.
Yeah, and we got a show in the combine of some just ridiculous performances. I don't remember the player's name, but he 6'6", 260, ran a 4.41 as a defensive end.
Yeah, Montez Sweat. Is from Mississippi State. It's just absolutely insane that he was able to. I mean, that's faster than most receivers, let alone as a lineman.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, the guy could double as a tight end with that speed.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way we've seen defensive linemen going in recent years, where they're a little bit lighter and just much, much quicker and faster, and just beating guys with speed and agility, rather than having to just run through them.
Yeah, and that's a guy like Jerry Hughes who was kind of almost ahead of his time. And I think that's why he struggled to really have a place in the NFL his first couple of years till the Bills traded for him. He's been really, really good for Buffalo, and I wouldn't be surprised if they sign Jerry Hughes to some sort of extension because he doesn't put up the sack numbers, but he just gets an unreal amount of pressures.
Yeah, and he's, I think you're right. I mean, he's a guy who's on the smaller end of guys that play his position. He's like 6'2", 255 pounds, 260 pounds. But he gets to the quarterback. He just causes a lot of disruptions to opposing teams' passing games. And that's why he's been such an important player since the Bills traded for him from Indianapolis. That's still one of the better trades the Bills have made in a long time. And they got Calvin Shepard for Jerry Hughes straight up.
It's kind of crazy when you think about it, because those guys had similar career tracks before that, and the Bills won that trade it's not even close.
No, I mean, Jerry Hughes developed into one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and Calvin Shepard is not currently in the NFL.
Yeah, and Jerry Hughes, you know, that was kind of a big deal at the time, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago when he signed that contract. Now when you have a guy at a $9 or $10 million cap hit like Jerry Hughes, that's value.
Yeah, Jerry Hughes is, if you're just going to look at sack numbers, just the sack numbers, you'd say, okay, Jerry Hughes is overpaid. But because based on what he does, he's certainly not overpaid. I think you could even make an argument that he outperformed the dollar value of his deal over the 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right, Nate. He was, you know, one of the higher paid guys at the time, but just the amount of, didn't he have 15 pressures in one game this season?
Yeah, and I mean, he's getting paid. I think his total money this year was like $7 million, $500,000.
Yeah.
Between his base salary and his roster bonus or whatever. For what he, the numbers he put up and the pressures he caused and the disruption he caused, $7.5 million, that's a pretty good value.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely fine with the Bills tacking on, you know, another 2 years at that amount if he continues to play like this. I mean, I have to imagine that he wants to stay in Buffalo. He's been here for a long time. I think it's a good fit to keep him around for another couple of years to give you time to, you know, draft a young guy that you can add to the rotation and eventually be hopefully a superstar.
Yeah, I would agree. I think like adding 2 years at $16 million or 3 years at like $22 million, especially if a lot of the money is not as much of it's guaranteed, I think it's it would be a great deal for the Bills to be able to keep him on the roster, keep him locked up for the next 3 years if he can continue to perform at the same level.
Yeah, I've seen some people saying that the Bills should trade Jerry Hughes. I think that's absolutely insane. They don't have a ton of depth at the defensive end position right now, and it's going to get worse in the next couple of years as guys get older and, you know, maybe they can't afford to keep Shaq Lawson or don't want to. You can't give up. Like we said, that's value, what you're paying Jerry Hughes right now. Teams would probably give up, you know, a third-round pick for Jerry Hughes, but I don't think that's worth it.
No, and especially trading him now, like you're trading. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, right? And I think they'd be way better off if the Bills for some reason in the middle of next season they're like having a terrible season, the defense is terrible. Maybe then you trade him. But trading him before the season even starts doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. This is Shaq Lawson's year. Well, he played well last year. If he has another good year, I can't see the Bills not bringing him back unless they want to trade him to someone that thinks they can use him even more than the Bills do. But do you see them exercising that fifth-year option, Nate?
I don't know. The Bills haven't use a fifth-year option I think since Gilmore. I think that's the last first-round pick they used their fifth-year option on. When do they have to – when's the drop dead? When do they have to decide that by?
I want to say it's like mid-season off the top of my head, but I don't actually remember. Let's see here.
NFL – May 3rd, they have to decide by.
Yeah, so that's earlier than you'd like if you're the Bills. And, Nate, do you know what the value would be on that? It's got to be over $10 million, probably, I would think.
I think we can probably figure that out. Because, no, I don't know exactly what the value would be on that.
I believe the formula is it's just what their four-year contract was, right? Their four-year rookie deal. It all gets loaded into 1 year.
So that would make Shaq Lawson's fifth-year option like $10 million.
Interesting. Because they have...
He signed... his four years, $10 million. 4 years, $10.3 million. So it'd be about $10.3 million.
Man. Oh, that's tough because Shaq Lawson's a good player. But is that value at $10.3 million? I don't know.
I think one thing that will help the Bills to decide that is... By May 3rd, they'll have a pretty good idea what their cap number is going to be for 2020 before any – they'll have their free agent – most of their big free agents that they would have signed, and they'll have a better idea if they would be able to afford that $10 million. It's not necessarily that it's – is it worth it or not worth it, but – if they can, if it's something that they can easily afford, I think that might make it more palatable for them to spend that kind of money on him for a fifth year. I think the tough thing is he definitely wouldn't go out and sign unless he this year has like 10 or 12 sacks or something. He's not going to go out and sign a contract for $10 million a year.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I could see Shaq. I would argue that the Bills are more likely to trade Shaq Lawson than Jerry Hughes.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Shaq Lawson is not proved that he can have the same impact as Jerry Hughes has proven that he can have. And if you want to ask me who I'd rather have on the roster day one, 2019, Jerry Hughes easily is the answer to that question.
Yeah, Shaq Lawson's more of, I want to say, like an edge defender, Nate. He's good against the run. He's not an outstanding pass rusher, but he's good. It's just he's not an elite-level player that you'd think, okay, he's going to get $10 million a year.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's the guys who make that kind of money are the big-time disruptors in the passing game, and Shaq Lawson's that's not who he is at this point in his career.
Yeah, so depending on what the Bills do in free agency along with D-line, Shaq Lawson's a name to watch for a guy that they could move. I know they were impressed with him last year, but he's also a guy that was on the verge of being shipped out before, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was something that we heard a lot of discussion of potentially trading him, especially because he hasn't done the things that the Bills really drafted him hoping he'd be able to do. And he's good, don't get me wrong. He does a lot of things well. He's especially good to run defender, but you expect your edge defenders to be able to rush the passer, and he's struggled with that throughout his career.
All right, so we'll finish out defensive ends here, Nate. Is Trent Murphy going to be on the roster? I know they signed him to like a $7 million average annual value. I think he's on the hook for two more years.
Yeah, I have SpotTrack up. I'm going to look and see where they could. Yeah, so he has two more years on his deal. They could, I mean, if they were to cut him, it only cost them $3.5 million in dead money to get out of that contract. They're only paying him his cash this year, $7 million. And I think for what they are going to expecting out of him, that's a fair number. And the struggle for him has always been just staying healthy. He has not been healthy for an entire season. And I don't even know for his entire NFL career.
Yeah, that
was. He played in every single game. He hasn't been fully healthy in 3 years.
Yeah, and he's still a pretty young guy, right? Like 27?
I think he'll be 28 during this season. I think this is his age 28 season.
Yeah, that was a signing that never made sense to me at the time, and it hasn't since then, given the PED suspension and the lack of durability. We saw that all last season with the groin injuries. I wouldn't be surprised if he's cut.
No, it's not something that's really will cost them a lot of money. They don't necessarily have to decide that anytime soon. I mean, cutting him early is it's a benefit to him, but the team doesn't need to do. Like, they don't need to make that decision really until training camp.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, is there anyone else locked up on the Bills roster? I think Eddie Yarbrough is an exclusive rights free agent, and I don't think they've exercised that yet.
That is correct. Eddie Yarbrough has been a guy who I assume he'll be back. I don't think that because he's exclusive rights and because he has made an impact when he's been on the field for the Bills, I would imagine he'll be back. One guy I do want to talk about a little bit is Star Lotulelei, because a lot of Bills fans have complaints. A lot of national media people say the contract he signed was too big. It's a waste of money. Maybe it's too big. Maybe $10 million a year average is too much. But just because he's not putting up stats doesn't mean he's not having an impact. His entire job is to let the Bills linebackers do whatever they want. And he did a pretty good job of that last year. The Bills had two of the better linebackers in the entire AFC. And a lot of that was had to do with Star Lotulelei. And I think you have to, because of the system the Bills defense plays and the way they play, you have to kind of reevaluate the stats of the interior defensive linemen versus their actual impact on the defense.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Nate. I think we made that point when they signed him to that, and I think it was Sal Capaccio of WGR as well said, you'll know how well Star Lotulelei plays based on how the guys behind him play. And like you said, the Bills linebackers were outstanding last season. So, Lotulelei, you can argue over whether $10 million a year is value for a one-tech defensive tackle that's job is to just eat up two blocks every play. But he does that well. And, you know, it's not all that common in the NFL. So, I mean, it's fine to pay him that for a couple more years, but if they start to get into a cap crunch, say in 2021, that could be a casualty.
Yeah, and that in 2021 is when it becomes reasonably affordable to cut him. The total dead money throughout the rest of the deal after 2020 is only $5 million. So they could say, I think they'd be saving somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 million to cut him for a dead money of five, which is, that's where you could potentially do that. And he'd be on the older end there too. But I think it's safe to say he'll be on the roster doing his thing in front of the Bills' young linebacking group for at least the next two seasons.
Yeah, that's a great point. We also have Harrison Phillips, who kind of doubled as a one tech and three tech, if I'm not mistaken, Nate. You know, they thought he was a one tech when they drafted him, but he's pretty good at three tech too.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's, I think we'll probably see certainly see increased snaps with Kyle Williams gone. I would imagine the Bills would like to bring back Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips has tweeted things about coming back to Buffalo, but he obviously has not been officially re-signed yet. I think there's mutual interest there, and I would be surprised if he wasn't re-signed at some point in the near future.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Nate, I believe Brandon Bean said something at the Combine this week about they wanted to bring Jordan Phillips back, and they're working on it. So hopefully that's a deal that's valuable for the team. I can't imagine there's a huge market for him, but there's probably enough to drive the price up to like maybe $3 or $4 million a year.
Yeah, and I think that's why they want to try and get... Yeah, so he tweeted yesterday, "Let's go, Buffalo." And he got asked if there was a deal done. He said, "Not officially, but hopefully." And I think that's someone they want to sign, because before free agency starts, they have to find him. They have to get him signed before March 11th, because starting March 11th, he can start talking to other teams.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure tampering happens. I'm sure his agent knows what his value would be on the open market. But yeah, he has to be back in Buffalo, because, like we said, they don't have a ton of depth along the defensive line for the long term. And, you know, just talking through the defensive ends, Nate, there's not a lot of depth there right now. Defensive tackle's a bit better, but I'd like to have Jordan Phillips on the roster for a few years. He's a young guy, former second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken, and he was very good when he rotated in.
Yeah, and that's just as with the offensive line, it's very important to have solid veteran depth at the defensive line. Jordan Phillips is not a guy who you want to go out there and be out there for 70% of the snaps and be one of your top defensive tackles, but he's a guy who's going to give you 25-30% of the snaps every game, and he's going to play hard and make a difference when he's on the field for not an insane amount of money. And those kind of guys are important to have on the roster.
Absolutely. So we'll move into free agents along the defensive line now. Do you see them spending any big money on a guy like Jadeveon Clowney or DeMarcus Lawrence if they become available?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. The Bills in the past have spent money on guys. They spent money on Mario Williams, which ended up really not being a terrible signing. But I just think the amount of money that a DeMarcus Lawrence is going to command on the open market is not something the Bills are going to be necessarily willing to pay.
Yeah,
DeMarcus Lawrence, well, he could be worth almost $20 million a year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't see them doing that.
So maybe there are some guys out there that the value would be more reasonable, but I don't think they're going to go after one of those top end guys in free agency.
Yeah, I agree, Nate. When it comes to defensive end, I could see them going with another guy like Trent Murphy.
Yeah, one guy that's kind of interesting is going to be Dante Fowler for the Rams, since he's just been an interesting player his entire career, with him getting Jacksonville declined his option. He got suspended for violating the personal conduct policy. They traded him to the Rams. He had a pretty good season, and now he's going to be a free agent. is an interesting guy because his value is not going to be nearly as high as someone like DeMarcus Lawrence.
Absolutely. And then there's other veteran guys like Coney Ealy or someone like that. That's just, it's not going to be a ton of money, but you might have to shell out a little bit and maybe ship out Shaq Lawson or Jerry Hughes. But I just can't see the Bills spending the big money that's going to, you know, be a problem 4 or 5 years down the road, because Brandon Bean said they would be judicious with the cap. And I don't think defensive end is where they're going to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that that analysis. A top end type contract like DeMarcus Lawrence, they're not going to go there. And maybe they'll sign a guy to like a Trent Williams size deal, $4 or $5 million, but that's probably the extent of where they're going to go. I don't see the Bills under Brandon Bean making a player one of the highest paid in the NFL at any position other than quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's right. And we might see a lot of like Staletule type contracts where they pay them a bit more than people might think they're worth, but they're not going to make anyone the highest paid player at their position, like you said. So Nate, we'll move over to defensive tackle at free agency. And that is loaded right now if guys aren't tagged or, you know, re-signed. If Grady Jarrett isn't tagged by the Falcons, that is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if Grady Jarrett does not end up back in Atlanta. But yeah, defensive tackle is absolutely loaded in free agency, and it's a position where, because of the retirement of Kyle Williams, it's possible that the Bills could spend some money there. Grady Jarrett, I just imagine his value being somewhere in the neighborhood of like $15 million a year contract, which would make him one of the highest paid defensive linemen or interior linemen in the NFL. Do I think the Bills will do that? Probably not. But to find a game-changing interior lineman is not easy. And when you have one, it makes a big difference, as you see with the Rams, who have the best player in the NFL as one of their interior defensive linemen.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling down through the free agents at defensive tackle, and the list goes down to like 25 or 30 guys that you're like, yeah, I'd be cool with the Bills signing him. I think a lot of what we see from the Bills in free agency might tip the hand of what they want to do in the draft. If they spend decent money on a defensive end or defensive tackle in free agency, it probably signals that they're going to draft the other one. I know they draft by best available, but I mean, defensive end and defensive tackle are loaded in the NFL draft this year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they don't sign anyone, you know, to decent-sized money in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, there could certainly be, like, barring some weird things happening with the quarterbacks, 6 or 7 defensive linemen taken on the top 10 picks. And there's so much talent out there at those positions that having as high draft pick as the Bills have, they have a lot of options going into the draft if they don't want to spend any of that money on free agency.
Yeah, I'm just looking now. There's 7 defensive tackles and 6 defensive ends that are projected, you know, to be first round picks. That's absolutely crazy. And with the Bills sitting at 9, you can even trade down, especially if quarterbacks start going in the top 10 picks.
Yeah, because I mean it. There's really, it's hard to know how many quarterbacks are going to go early, but if a guy like Kyler Murray goes number one overall somehow, it probably starts a run on quarterbacks, where at least Dwayne Haskins and Drew Locke would end up going in the top 10, which pushes a lot of talented players down the board to teams like the Bills who don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because there's going to be a lot of talent that falls to them at 9, but say, you know, one of those 3 quarterbacks you just named, I think Kyler Murray will be gone, but if Haskins or Locke are still there at 9, I could see the Bills wheeling and dealing down to acquire more picks.
Yeah, a Bills trade down would not surprise me one bit. It would not surprise me one bit. There's kind of the opposite of what they did last year, right? Where they're in the position where there's a chance there's teams behind them that want to trade up and get a quarterback. And the Bills are in prime position to move down and get an extra second-round pick, an extra third-round pick out of the deal.
Yeah, the Bills just sent out an email, I think it was yesterday, the day before, for a contest to guess their first round pick. I put in Ed Oliver. I know he's kind of fallen down people's boards, but that's a guy that I could see the Bills drafting. Nate, the narrative around him reminds me a lot of what people said about Aaron Donald when he was coming into the draft and he fell to like 13th overall. And that was the year the Bills drafted Sammy Watkins. You know, he's short. He's a bit lighter for a defensive tackle. And for some reason, people count that against them.
Yeah, and I think Aaron Donald has proved that if you're good, you're good. Size doesn't really matter. I think that holds against for almost any position in the league. Size, while yes, it can be important and it can help predict success to a limited degree, if you're good, you're good, and you're going to be successful in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at his stats. I know that doesn't tell the whole story with defensive tackles, but he had 73 tackles in 2017. He had 54 in 2018, and he missed some games. That reminds me of Harrison Phillips, how he had like over 100 at Stanford in the season. That just seems like a guy that's going to pique the Bills' interest.
Yeah, he certainly is. He certainly is. And he's a guy who can play multiple positions across the line. And I think that's something else that makes him intriguing.
Yeah, especially because he's smaller for a defensive tackle. He's listed at 6'3". I think he's closer to like 6'2 or 6'1". And, you know, plays at about 270, 275 pounds. That's a guy they can slide along, you know, maybe at defensive end if they want to, just to get him in the rotation. And that's highly beneficial for a team that needs depth.
Yeah, so Ed Oliver at the combine came in at 6'2", 287, which is pretty good. And he had like a 36-inch vertical, which is absolutely insane for someone that size. I mean, he's going to be a fun player, I think, in the NFL. And he's just going to add to the recent group of undersized linemen making an impact on the interior of the defensive line in the league.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, Nate, how the defensive linemen, linebackers are trending smaller, and we're seeing like skill position guys get bigger. It's a strange change the NFL's going through right now.
Yeah, it's a function of the NFL becoming more of a passing league, where you don't need to be huge on up front in the front seven on defense to be a good pass rusher and to stop the pass. Where if you have the added size at wide receiver, it can make, especially some of these guys that are getting bigger, but they're just as fast, they're just as quick, and that makes a big difference when so many teams are spending so much more of their offense throwing the football.
Yeah, that's excellent analysis, Nate. Is there anything else you want to add? Because we are starting to run a bit long here. We did combine two pretty large position groups on the roster today. Is there anything else you want to add?
I think it is a little tough at this point in the off season, really talking about where things are going to fall going forward. I think once and 10 days from now, when free agency starts, we'll have a much better idea of maybe where the Bills are going to want to go, and once it comes to the draft in April.
Yeah, that's a great point. We'll get linebackers and cornerbacks in beginning of next week for you guys, and since most of those positions are kind of taken on the Bills roster, we'll probably have some extra time and we can talk about what we want to see them do in free agency. Best guess, Nate, if the Bills stay at 9, do they draft a defensive end or defensive tackle?
I would say yes. If I had to bet on them drafting a certain position, I would say defensive line will be the position they go with at 9 if they stay at 9.
I agree with you there. I don't think it's DK Metcalf. I know he's kind of the talk of the week after his combine performance, but I don't know. I don't see the Bills reaching that high for a wide receiver.
Yeah, especially DK Metcalf. Yes, he put up these insane numbers at the combine, but he also had a shuttle that was slower than his 40-yard dash, which just doesn't happen very often. And the number one thing that worries me with him is his, yes, he's fast in a straight line, but is he quick in space? Can he get open? I just don't see the Bills. He's not a sure thing like a Calvin Johnson or Julio Jones, and I just don't see them going with the wide receiver that high in the draft.
Yeah, there's more skill wide receivers in this draft, but I think he'll be the first one off the board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's certainly, I think, will be the first one off the board. I just hope the Bills don't do it at 9.
All right, so I think that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Malcher.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a review, give us a rating, so others can help find the podcast wherever you get that, whether it's Apple, Google Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter, @Bills_Breakdown. Email us any segment ideas, questions, thoughts, comments to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.